the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. The saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Welcome to the Lord's Challenge, our weekly quarter-hour broadcast, bringing the reality of God's Word to all people everywhere. Stay tuned as Joshua Daniel challenges us to a walk with God and the corresponding impact that'll have on our lives, families, and society today.
Now I want to take you to Exodus, third chapter. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now the second verse, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. God called and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. You know, one of the things that happens and should happen at a time when we get closeted with God is that the clear voice of God should be heard. I emphasize the word clear because garbled voices are heard and mistaken for God's voice. And you see many wanderers today. You can't really characterize them as very earnest seekers. You know, they're out to find something exciting. You know, after all, any revelation of God comes with it a responsibility. Here, as Moses kept the sheep, it must have come as a very surprising and startling thing for him as he approached the bush to be called out by his name. Moses, Moses. You see, the Lord was there to give Moses the agenda for his life. Isn't that wonderful? When God makes the agenda, you know, the first and the second and the third and the fourth things that he has got for you. We don't really allow the Lord to make the agenda for our lives. That is the tragic part. We rush around like madmen, really. And we fail to understand that at best our ceiling is low and our horizons are very short. I mean, they are not long-ranging horizons. We can only see a very limited distance at best. As a matter of fact, I say, I can scarcely see very far off. You know how people can be suddenly stricken with sickness of some sort or another. Today, there are many people who become quacks because they have given themselves over to self-medication. So they keep buying this medicine and that medicine. But you know, my dear friends, many things can happen which we cannot foresee and we cannot forestall. And therefore, we ought to be at least humble and say, Lord, I don't know the way. You show me, you teach me. Now, we live in a society today when everything must be instant. And that's not the way God works. Who through faith and patience inherited the promises? Who through faith and patience? But we are a people today who are sold on the idea that everything must come instantly to us. I don't know if people here have wasted their money on the lottery and still expect someday to become instant millionaires. So everything should take place instantly. Can't wait. Now here, Moses was in preparation for 40 years. Well, 40 years is a long time by any reckoning. Although Moses lived 120 years, 40 years is a big span in that life, one third of it. What was he doing in this desert? He had much to unlearn. My dear friends, take anybody today who comes to the Lord out of our modern thinking and culture. There's so much to unlearn. The mind is cluttered with all kinds of stuff. You see, we are mixing today culture, Christianity, and our little pet forms of religion. It's all a mixture. It's horrible. And, you know, when you hear some of the names of some of these rebel armies which are at the forefront of the worst atrocities ever committed, barbarities ever perpetrated, you will find names like the Lord's Army and things like that. What do you mean? Which Lord is this? The Lord of Hell? And you will find all kinds of fancy names given to churches. I don't know if anybody has thought about the best church in the world. Have you got some boards hanging around? And surely somebody has thought about that. The first church, the great church, the wonderful church. I don't know, but that is the way the fanciful mind of people appears to travel. And sometimes I get these head letters, you know. People write to me on their head letters, and I'm quite amused by those head letters. I said, boy, how can anybody choose such self-flattering titles? But Moses had to unlearn those things which he had been tutored in the palace of Pharaoh. I don't know whether you're quick at unlearning some of those things which are clogs on your feet, holding you back. I don't know. Some people simply can't unlearn hereditary traits. We talk about some of the things which we have received genetically, but we don't think of those things that have come out of wrong choices. Wrong choices can have a devastating effect upon generations to come. Wrong choices, that's all. Wrong moves, wrong steps. Now here, just imagine when God called Moses, he had something to say about what he had seen. Seventh verse. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. You know, sometimes an ungodly people say, Well, if there is a loving God, doesn't he see this? Doesn't he see that? Yes, he does. When God sees a situation that seems to be irretrievable, when God sees a situation, he says, who is the person who will fit into this situation and correct it? Whom shall I choose for the job on hand? God saw the misery of the people, their affliction, their groans. He heard their groans. Now, ninth verse. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. So here, God knew the kind of oppression. Today I find oppression is in the very heart of man. We seem to delight in oppressing each other for no reason. Something annoys us, so we put on a long face. And for 2 or 3 days we become uncommunicative. We spread gloom in the family. What are you doing? You're oppressing the whole family. I think oppression is something which is continually coming out of our hearts. There is an oppressive spirit. We don't have a liberating spirit, a spirit that delivers, a spirit that lifts people. We come out with negative assessments. What is negative? Every negative assessment is oppressive. You come home with the gloomy notion that things are not going to work out. And the first person you meet with, or your wife or children, you say, oh my, this is not going to work out. We are in real trouble. What are you doing? You're oppressing the family with your thoughts. There are certain thoughts which should not be communicated. They are too oppressive. What we normally do is blurt it out as quickly as possible. So we are looking upon somebody to turn up on whom you can put this kind of thought. Now that's the thought of fear. It's a negative thought. It's an oppressive thought. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Yes, he does.
The speaker on this program was Joshua Daniel. He would like to know what your response has been to the Lord's challenge and would be delighted to hear from you. Please write, and if you have burdens you want to share and want prayer, do let us know. You can reach us on the World Wide Web at lefi.org, or else you can mail us at The Lord's Challenge, P.O. Box 14, South Lyon, Michigan 48178. Or in Canada, P.O. Box 31002, Windsor, Ontario, N9G2Y2. We are continually reaching out to millions in many countries, and we appreciate and we need your continuing prayerful support.